Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church. Once again, you already heard that with the with the ad in the front, but we're just so glad that each and every one of you joined us here today. And you know what? We have a topical Bible study here that we do on the air at 91.5 FM and on our website at ourlighthouse.net. You can catch it there anytime you want. So we hope that you are going to enjoy today's program. We always do the program with a guest, and today's guest is my wife, Lisa Radlin. So welcome to the program, Lisa.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here today. How are you, Kevin?
Doing good. Awesome. Doing good, man. If it got any better, I just wouldn't know what to do. So today we are going to bring another topic. You know, we've had some really crazy topics the last couple of weeks, and I've really enjoyed just taking the angle of Scripture and just looking at the Bible and seeing how we can apply it to our everyday lives and just see God begin to move in our hearts and in our attitudes and in our thoughts. So today, I want to hit the topic of our authority as a believer, okay?
So is there someone in your life who causes you to get upset or angry?
Oh, all the time.
If there is, it might surprise you to learn that it's not really that person who's creating the issue.
Right.
There's someone else at work.
Sure.
Your
you know,
real
the enemy,
enemy
is constantly working.
Your real enemy, and he may be using them to attempt to gain an inroad into your life because there's a spiritual war going on as a believer, and you must be aware of it.
Yeah. So I guess what we're trying to tell you guys is that, you know, we're at war. There's a spiritual realm that's existing on top of the world that we live in, and there are angels, there are demons, the Holy Spirit, God, the devil himself, you know, are all operating in a spiritual realm and a spiritual kingdom, you know, that is right on top of the world that we're living in, and people are being influenced by this spiritual realm constantly in their lives, their attitudes, their you know, their lifestyles and the way, you know, the media, everything that we see and experience and operate in the regular world is actually being influenced by that spiritual realm. And the truth is, you know, this battle is raging every single day, and it's a battle for your heart.
The battles for your heart and the hearts of every other person on earth. And God is trying to influence people and draw them toward his righteousness and toward himself to live consistent with him so that his blessings may manifest in their lives. But the enemy, he wants to distract from that. He wants to pull people's hearts away towards him to get the focus off the Lord.
Yeah, it's like a big giant tug of war battle going on, you know. And I talked about this in church a couple of weeks ago, and it was about the battle between the spirit, the soul, and the body. You're a three-part being. You know, you have a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. So, and I said this, I said, whoever wins the soul wins control. So our spirit's created in the likeness of God and is just, you know, perfect in all that it is once we've been given that born-again experience by accepting Jesus in our life. We're spiritually alive. But the soul is what needs work. That's where the scriptures tell us so many different things. Oh, you need to renew your mind to the word of God. You need to let your will be God's will because your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And then you need to let your emotions be, you know, under the subjection of the Spirit of God in your life.
And not be led by your emotions, which is not an easy task at times.
Nope.
It's very easy to be led by emotions.
But super easy.
In James 4:7, it says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee.
Yeah.
So the way you resist the devil is by submitting yourself to God. The word resist means to actively fight against. So you have to resist that you have to take the authority that we have as a believer. So many Christians are asking God to do what he told us to do.
Right.
And we have the authority, and we have to stop asking God to do something that he's already told us to do.
So an example of that would be, healing, for instance. So many people are actually coming to God, and they're in prayer. They're saying, God, please heal me. And God's there, and he's going, I already healed you. I sent healing through my son Jesus when he died on the cross, and he said, it is finished. I gave you everything that you're ever going to have. But you see, the enemy's trying to convince us that we don't have what God has given us. And the Bible says that we perish from a lack of knowledge. So us not knowing is the enemy's ability to gain control and situations and over our lives. And, you know, the bottom line is that by his stripes you were healed. You are healed. And if you are asking God to heal you, like, God, please heal me, then you're misappropriating and not understanding the way that authority really works in the earth. You should be taking authority over the sickness yourself as a believer in Jesus Christ under the authority that he's given you and under the ability that he has given you to go and heal the sick.
Right. The Bible says to speak to the mountain and command it to move. So if you have cancer in your body, you speak to that cancer. Cancer, in the name of Jesus, I curse you at the root. I command you to die in the name of Jesus. You take authority over whatever sickness is in your body. In Matthew 10:8, it says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give.
Yeah, he gave us the command to do these things, so we should be taking the authority that God gave us, and in the name of Jesus, we need to lay hands on the sick. We need to speak healing over others and ourselves. So, you know what? God's power is in you, everybody that's listening today, and that brings healing. That brings deliverance. But if you don't know who you are in Christ, if you don't understand who you are in Jesus, then you will be you will be unaware of what's really happening in the spirit realm. You've got to take authority over the things that are going on around you, and you've got to walk this spiritual life in this spiritual battle with the authority of God, and you've got to take authority over sickness, over demonic activity in your lives and everything like that.
Oh, you know? Talking about speaking over sickness, I was listening to a teaching by Norville Hayes. He was a faith teacher from years ago. He's passed away now, but I was listening to this old teaching, and he was talking about how his daughter was covered in her arms and her legs with these awful boils. They were terrible. He said his daughter had the ugliest hands he's ever seen, and she had to go through high school looking like this with these blistering, bloody boils, and he said they tried everything, and nothing would get rid of them. And he would pray every day for 3 years, every day, Lord, heal my daughter. Oh, Lord, please just heal my daughter. And one day he was in his living room, and he said his spirit kind of lifted from his body. He was looking at his body in the living room praying, but he was up from his body, and he had an encounter with the Lord. And the Lord said, why don't you want your daughter healed? He was like, what do you mean? I want my daughter healed? I'm praying every day. He's like, you're not taking the authority. You're not speaking to the mountain and telling it to move. After that, he re-entered his body, and then he said, in the name of Jesus, I curse those growths on my daughter. In Jesus' name, I command them to go. And he said for 40 days, he prayed that every day for 40 days. He took authority over those bumps on his daughter. His daughter came home from school one day, and it was like after 5 o'clock, and she was hanging dresses up in her closet. And as she's hanging the dresses, all of a sudden she looked at her arm and noticed that she had total new skin. Every boil, every blister, everything was gone. She screamed out, ah! He came running in thinking like, oh my gosh, did she see a spider? What's going on? Look at me, Dad! Look at me! I have new skin! He said she had the prettiest hands and arms he's ever seen in his life. It was all because he took the authority as a believer. Now, it did take 40 more days, but after three years of praying the wrong way, I think 40 days of praying the right way is pretty great. So
yeah,
it was
super
exciting for him to see that. And so that's the power of taking authority. And I've been doing that over my mom, just speaking over her mind. She's been diagnosed with dementia, and I'm just like cursing the dementia in Jesus' name and speaking life to her brain.
Sure. Well, it's God's power in you that brings healing, and it's God's power in you that brings the deliverance, but it's our responsibility to operate in that the authority that God has given us and to begin to take charge of those situations.
And God doesn't
and it's
bring
hard.
Sickness.
Sometimes you just you want to just kick back and just say, oh, woe is me, I have a headache. You know, instead of taking authority over it, you grab some aspirin or whatever. But sooner or later, that situation is going to it's going to get bigger. It's going to, you know, just become something, an even bigger problem that you can't just take an aspirin for or something. So, you know, I've always heard it said this way, you know, fight a headache like cancer, because, you know, eventually it will become that, you know, in your life. So, you know, we've got to take authority over it when it's smaller, you know, when it's trying to work its way, you know, in our lives. And you can do the same thing. I know we're talking a lot about healing, but you can do that over depression in your life. You can do that over, you know, different
over your
things,
finances.
Over your finances.
Speak over your finances.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and God comes to give us life and life more abundantly. In Ephesians 6:11-13, it says, put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand.
Yeah, I mean, I think God's basically saying, I've given you everything you need, you have the authority, you have my power. You know, I believe a lot of that's through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we were just recently talking about how Jesus was an example for each one of us in our lives, and how we needed to do the same things that Jesus went through. First thing is, you need to be born again. Jesus was born of the Spirit. He came into a virgin and through the Holy Spirit, and he was born into the world. Well, we've already been naturally born, so the goal is that we would be born again. Then, you know, the next thing was, is Jesus got water baptized. He went to John. John's like, you don't need to be baptized by me. I need to be baptized by you. You baptized with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, he said, suffer it to be so. And Jesus was water baptized. And then as soon as he came out of the water, he was Holy Spirit baptized. The Spirit descended on him. And then what happened? His ministry started. And that's what it is. See, we've got to put on the whole armor of God. Our ministry has got to start one day. We've got to recognize who we are as a believer. We've got to step into the authority that Jesus paid such a huge price for us to have. You know, we've got to get saved, get baptized, get filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, and then move into our ministry and then begin to take ground for the kingdom. It says, you know, having done all else, it's time to stand. So that's my encouragement to you who are listening today. It's time for you to stand. It's time for you to take authority over the depression that's coming after you, the sicknesses in your bodies. You guys have got to start speaking the word of God over your life, over your circumstances, and you've got to take authority and tell this garbage to get out of your life and out of your families and out of your homes.
Amen. And in this book, in Ephesians, where it's talking about that we're wrestling against the spiritual hosts of wickedness, it's talking about demonic powers.
Sure.
But it says we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. But much of the time we are. But we're trying to wrestle flesh and blood, but really we should be fighting the enemy. In the Greek, where the Bible says that a person is demon-possessed, that word literally means demonized. It means that we're under control of the devil. And the fact is that people are being influenced and controlled and used by the enemy.
Yeah. You know, most Christians shouldn't be intimidated by Satan's power. Satan can't do anything to you without your consent or your cooperation. I think that the biggest problem that we face as believers is that we actually partner with the devil way more than we should. We partner with his philosophies and everything that he is feeding us through the world system. You know, the Bible teaches us that Satan is the god of this world, and he stole the authority of Adam and Eve in the garden. He took their authority and he became a god. He said, I'll exalt myself above the throne of God, you know, and he saw opportunity, you know, and he took our authority. Well, Jesus came. God couldn't take our authority back as God, so God became a man, and he took back the enemy's ability to have the authority in the earth. So now there's, it's kind of like a dual authority system going on. You know, whoever's partnering with the devil, they're giving their authority to the devil because authority rests in mankind. And then whoever's partnering with God is operating in the authority and the power of God. So, you know, but God and the devil both need human beings because we are in possession of the earth. God gave the earth to us and we ultimately had the authority and lost it. And then Jesus pulled it back. But it's like this, it's like an authority battle. It's like, and most people are just wandering around. They don't even understand it. They don't even know that they have authority. They're just following the, like the Pied Piper. It's like Satan's blowing his little flute and he's just leading everybody through the world and taking them on these crazy rides in their life with depression and sickness and anger and frustration, and all this stuff is just, it's ridiculous. And we've got to step it up.
Satan can't do anything without our consent and cooperation. We need to stop magnifying the devil and stop giving him more credit than he deserves, because all of Satan's power is dependent upon us cooperating. And if you don't get into fear, he's powerless. The only deception of Satan is to lie. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he tells lies. And he's not greater than us. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. You have more authority than the devil. The devil doesn't make you do anything. He can lie and convince you to act, but without his consent, he has no authority. He goes about like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour, and he seeks whoever will buy into his lies.
Yeah.
So once you know the truth will set you free.
Yeah. I mean, Satan is waging all-out war, man. He is trying to steal our hearts. He's trying to steal your heart. He's trying to steal my heart away from God. He wants to fill our hearts with trash and corruption and just garbage. But, you know, I don't think that we realize just how intense this warfare is that we're under, and how much, you know, our actions and the way we respond are contributing to the battles that are happening in the spiritual realm.
Because like the choices we make and the things we say and the actions we take and what we believe about what's happening around us determines whether God or Satan dominates our life. He can't control you outside of your will. He can't do anything without your cooperation and consent. But you need to recognize that you're in a battle and you need to take the authority as a believer. Because many people choose, oh, I just won't believe that. And yeah, whether they believe it or
that's not true.
It's happening whether you believe it or not.
It's like gravity, you know. You can choose that I don't believe in gravity, and you can jump off of a building and you're going to splat on the ground because it's really there. It's really, it's real. So
your unwillingness to engage in the battle doesn't mean that the battle isn't happening. It just means you're going to lose if you don't take your authority. Once you realize the battle's real, then you learn to recognize what's going on. You take the proper action. You speak scriptures of your life. You do what's necessary to resist the devil, and then he has to flee.
I mean, the scripture that we looked at, you know, it said, resist the devil and he will flee, right? So obviously,
submit yourself to God.
There is a process that God's looking
submit
for
yourself
us
to God
to,
first. Yeah,
submit yourself to God and then resist the devil. Amen. And he will flee. But you have to resist. It's having done all else, you have to stand. You have to believe the word of God and the truth of what God's saying about your life. And in doing that, you will see victory begin to come. It like you said with Norval Hayes, you know, it didn't happen instantaneous. But the more he kept progressing, the more he kept speaking and declaring and walking in the authority that he had, it had to come to pass.
Your enemy is not the person sitting next to you at work. It's not your neighbor. And it, of course, is not your husband or your wife. That is not the problem. Anyone who's not paying attention can be influenced and inspired and used by the enemy, the devil, to come against you. If you recognize that, it will make a huge difference in the way that you respond to them.
Yeah, sometimes friends can come against us and they can do some pretty mean things. And you know what? I've been there. I've done that. You know, but sometimes we have to be able to look past what they did, what I did, you know, and we have to try to work towards forgiveness. You know, I can see Satan has taken advantage of me many times. He's taken advantage of other people. He's using situations to hurt me. He's using me sometimes to hurt others. And it's all through weak areas in our lives. And when you finally see that, you know, you got to not be angry with that person. You got to be able to to try to walk in forgiveness, try to bring reconciliation if you can, but you've got to go after the enemy. He's the true, you know, he's the true one that needs to be addressed in the situation. And when we do turn these things around, hopefully, you know, relationships can be restored, they can be reestablished. It's, you know, it's not, you hope that they can. Some people can't get there, other people can, and, you know, that's just the way it is. So
there are also times that we have to engage with the enemy directly, even if the enemy is using a friend. That's exactly what Jesus did when he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan. That was the same day Jesus asked Peter, who do you say I am? And Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. In Matthew 16, 15 through 17, he said unto them, but whom do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. After this, Jesus began to talk about what was going to happen to him, and they're going to take me, and they're going to kill me, and I'll rise again on the third day. And that same Peter, who had been inspired and controlled by the Holy Spirit a few moments before, said, Be it far from you, Lord. This will never happen to you. I'm going to stand there, and the rest of us will defend you. And we're not going to allow this to happen. Then Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm sure Peter was shocked, like, what? But Jesus wasn't talking to him. He was talking about Satan controlling Peter and Peter's words that were not coming from God. They were inconsistent with the will of God. So Peter was being inspired and controlled by the enemy.
Yeah. Don't even want to think about how many times I've been inspired and controlled by the enemy in my own life. And some of you out there that are listening, the enemy is just taking us for a ride so many times, you know, with attitudes and just anxieties and different fears. And we've got to begin to, in the day and age that we're living now, step into who God has made us. We've got to step into the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got to begin to take authority over everything that is coming against us in our lives. And we've got to be wiser. We've got to be ready to see the enemy for who he really is, the great deceiver, the liar, the destroyer. He's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. Well, where's that life found? It's in the cross.
The Word of God, too.
And in the Word of God. Amen. But it's also in the authority that Jesus has restored back to us. So we're hoping that you guys are actually getting this. We're hoping that you can understand the battle that we're in each and every day in our lives. And the spirit realm is real. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and just finish up this topic on the authority of the believer.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Tuesday night at 6:30, we have our young adult ministry, Vessel. Vessel is for ages 18 to 29 years old, and they meet in the round building on our campus and have a great time in worship and learning.
Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the Fellowship Hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Just want to say thanks to our sponsors. You guys are amazing. If you guys have any needs that way, by all means, check them out. And, you know, we've been talking about the authority of the believer. We've talked about the spiritual realm and everything that's going on in the spiritual realm, right on top of the world that we're living in and how we're influenced by God, how we're influenced by the enemy. What do you want to wrap up the program with?
Well, to win in this war, you must know who you are and the authority you have as a believer. Don't go another day without understanding how to defeat the real enemy. You have the power and authority to do it, and now it's your time to use it.
Yeah, we've basically got a war going on, guys, but the war isn't happening physically right in front of us. You know, we're not using real guns and going through real battles. The war is waging today in your heart and in your mind. It's in your soul. See, the enemy is trying to corrupt your soul. He's trying to steal you away from God. He's trying to keep you from being who God has called you to be. So, you know, we've got to remember that the devil is trying to oppose the words of God, and he wants to discredit, he wants to cause you to ignore those words, to reject them. But, you know, the Bible says we'll know the truth, and the truth will what?
Set us free.
See, the Holy Spirit is, you know, bearing witness in your heart to the truth. If you'll begin to place the truth of God's word in your heart and in your life, he'll begin to rewrite your mind. He'll begin to renew your mind with the word of God. He will begin to show you the directions that you need to take to overcome the enemy and his strongholds. Some of you have strongholds that have been built into your life since you were children, and you've got to overcome those strongholds. You've got to allow the truth of the word of God to begin to set you free. True deliverance is when the word of God is preached and you believe the truth, you buy the truth, and you place it in your heart and you change, you repent, you act on those words, and then allow God to begin to redistribute, you know, his power into your life. You become the authority-driven believer who now takes charge of the situations and doesn't let situations move you in the direction that they want you to go. You move your situations in the direction that God wants them to go by speaking life through your mouth. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. By knowing the word, recognizing the battle, and understanding who you are in Christ, and that you have authority, guys. You have the ability to change your circumstances today.
Start speaking to your mountain in the name of Jesus, and it will go into the sea.
All right. We hope you guys enjoyed the program. We'll see you soon.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Maryland, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.